Hey, everybody, and welcome back. This is Johnny Cashmere here trying to get this video clip off the screen for everybody. There you go. I'm here with Tommy Grayson. What's up, brother?
What up, bro? Whoop, whoop. Tommy Grayson in the house. Much clown love as always.
Yes, sir. Welcome, everybody, here. We are live and up and running a Trivial Pursuit. I wonder what that means. Any idea, Tommy?
Well, normally when we think Trivial Pursuit, we think question, answer, and, you know, a couple of different questions and answers throughout the day and night. So, you know, I'm thinking sort of like wild card rule.
Kind of like Quizno. You go to a bar and you play Quizzo or whatever. Like, we're going to be doing some quizzes tonight. I have at least a dozen trivia questions, wrestling trivia questions. And I'm pretty sure all of them, yes, they are all WWE / WWF. Some of them go back. So we're going to do that in a little bit. Donnie B may or may not be with us. We're also waiting on a few other people like Phil. We're waiting on Phil still. And whoever else may show up, we shall see. Danger Ginger says, congrats on the titles win. Thank you. I guess we should talk right about that for a second. Let's show the picture, you guys. Here
it is.
It's going
to be the picture of all of us, actually.
That's it. That's all of us right there with Violent J. That was taken this past Friday in Michigan after we won our first trios titles. You see the belts there, numbered 1, 2, and 3. You can see number 2 is in Tommy's hand, number 3 is in JP's hand, and number 1 is up on my shoulder opposite the Trent belt. But what a great picture.
Yeah, man. You know, the four us trios champions, the first ever trios belts that the Backseat Boys have ever captured, you know, both in OG and new form. And I think it's really dope because, you know, right off the bat, we are setting ourselves apart from every other act out there in that we could do it all. We could do tag team, we could do trios, and we can master it in any promotion that we step foot into. And goes without saying that, you know, of course, Johnny had to be number 1. You know, don't step in number 2, obviously. So I had to claim that for myself. But, you know, 3's a charm, of course, or 3rd time's a charm. So, you know, it was dope. Yep. Shout out to 4US Wrestling for having us. You know, we'll be back there November 15th defending our newly won 4US Trios titles. And, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Had a lot of fun on the road. What do you say? It is, we just started. Let's jump in with our first trivia question. You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, some of these are going to age me, unfortunately, but whatever. All right, everyone, you put the answer in the chat. All right. So let's watch the chat. All right. And don't Google it, everyone. Grow up.
Yeah, no cheaters. Pretend you're in school and your phone is on silent.
All right. Who was the oldest WWE champion of all time?
I think I know that answer.
Go ahead, take a guess. I won't tell you right away.
Vince McMahon.
Good guess. Anyone else? Oldest in age. You're correct. Vince McMahon. Do you know how old he was?
He won it in 99. See, for those of you who don't know, I have OCD when it comes to years and stuff. And I went through a period of just having to memorize dates and times and everything. So I know he won it in 99. I know he was in his 50s, but I can't tell you how old he was now.
He was 54 years old.
54. Okay. Yep. I was Danger thinking like, Ginger. Danger Ginger said 52. Yeah. I was thinking he was at least 53. I wasn't too sure though, because, you know, even at that time at 53 years old, Vince looked better than guys, you know, half his age.
Right.
You know,
and that's another thing too, when you think about it, like Chris Gorse said, Iron Sheik. Well, if you think about it, like, look at Bruno Sammartino. Like, to me, he looked like my grandfather, even when he was in his 30s. So it's hard to tell age with some of these guys.
Right. Right. Hulk Hogan is up there too.
Well, Hogan was nowhere near his 50s in his first title run. I want to say he was like 33, right?
Right. I'm talking when he came back to WWF in 02. They gave him one last run where he beat Triple H and then lost it to Undertaker. So he had to have been 49 at the very youngest.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. So, it's Vinnie Mac. So, it was almost Ric Flair. It was almost would have been Ric Flair on several occasions, but, you know, just never meant to be.
Well, let me show real quick, what we have so far for November 2nd. You guys roll the dice. Tickets are on sale. Check this out. There you have it. Simon Gotch versus Rick Blade. First time ever. Tommy Grayson, Rick Blade's a ninja. Do you agree?
In so many ways, dude. Rick Blade is a fucking ninja.
He's the kind of guy who could like pick up axe throwing on his first attempt. You know what I mean? That's just the kind of, he's just so good at anything he tries that. Oh, what could this be? Look, she's now teaching him how to do it. Watch, look, right there. Boom, bullseye, first shot.
I'm Jim with the Bust Candy Career Times. I took a picture of you when you were crying. I was just wondering if I get your name.
Two. Yeah, Kayla?
K?
K-A-Y-L-A.
K-A-Y-L-A. Three. Yeah. He's hit the red every time on this target.
U-K.
U-K?
That actually hit right in the middle.
Where are you?
Hapro.
Oh, Hapro, great. I'm from the industry.
Jeez.
Simon Gotch.
And that's not as easy as it looks. I've been axe throwing, you know, a couple different times there. It's not so much of having to throw the axe with so much velocity as much as it is a technique. You know, you have to throw the axe a certain way so that it actually rotates in a straightforward motion and lands directly up. It's a precision thing. So, you know, that's my little fun fact about that. But Rick Blade, I mean, he's the type of guy that just gets more jacked every single time you see him. You know, UDH, Johnny, Rick Blade just somehow gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, he does, man. Pretty amazing, I gotta say. I'm so happy to have him back. And to see him and Gotch, you know, they call it, there's something called a curtain sellout. And that's when all the wrestlers in the back are as excited as the fans in the crowd to see the match. And if you're during the match, if you look at the curtain, you'll see all of us peeking through the curtain, watching the match like, oh, what'd he do? What'd he do? Oh, I missed it. Oh, that's what we all feel for Simon Gotch versus Rick Blade. So when the wrestlers are all excited, you know, it's going to be a good match for the fans.
Right. Exactly.
So we have a guest. Let's bring on our guest in here. The lovely Rachel. How you doing, honey?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
What up, Rachel?
What up?
I got to say, this is the second time in like 2 minutes that we've gone outdoors on our podcast. This is awesome. Such a nice day. Tell us where you are. And if you don't mind, maybe just introduce yourself. It's so good to see you.
I'm Rachel. I am the promoter and booker for Horror Slam. Been running 7 years, located in Detroit, Michigan.
Excellent. And I think we have a picture here I'm going to put up. Of course, it covers your face. I'm sorry, honey.
All those monsters. Look at them.
There it is. The Underground Monsters, Rhino, Violent J, Congo Kong, Backseat Boys, Facade, Danny Moe, Briar Wellington, just amazing stuff, man. This is, and what a cool poster. Like, this poster legit gives me nightmares.
Yeah, definitely does.
It's a work in progress, that's for sure.
So it's this Friday.
Yep.
It is October 11th, doors 6:30, bells 7:30. For tickets and information, you can call 313-801-4379. Looks like tickets are very reasonably priced. Front row's only $25, everybody. That's a steal right there.
As well at the top of our page.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
We also have a ticket link at the top of our page on the Horror Slam page as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Yep. Get your tickets in advance, everybody. So tell us a little bit about what Horror Slam is. And I believe this is not your first Horror Slam either, is it?
No. So we've been running for 7 years. We kind of started off with just doing like 3 or 4 normal matches. And then we had like the monsters and Halloween characters, Jason, Freddy Krueger, Michael Myers, It the Clown. And it worked out great. The fans loved it. We all enjoyed it. And we're like, we want to go a little bit deeper than just monsters. Let's bring some blood in. Let's and I think we talked about it for like a couple of weeks, and then we just bam, we did it.
Wow. I love it.
It's exhilarating. It's fun. It's scary. It's all at the same time. For the first couple of shows, I was like, all right, I'll be right back. And then I didn't watch like half the show. Now I was like, I can't wait. I want to see somebody get their ass beat. I want to see all the blood.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a lot of anticipation for this event. You know, last night, I don't know if you're aware, but the back seats, Tommy and JP, they were special guests on Jasmine St. Clair's podcast.
Yes. Yep.
Off the Rails. Here's a thing right there. You can see it. And that's on her. That's on her YouTube.
Okay.
Every Monday at 8:30. They really pushed the event really good last night.
Yeah. Awesome. They did a live. They did a live stream of it yesterday, and I believe the podcast will be uploaded in a post-production manner later on her YouTube. Okay. So stay up to date with Jasmine St. Clair. We're talking all about it. You could catch, you could catch her at Horror Slam this week as well. You could catch you could catch the Backseat Boys at Horror Slam issuing the open challenge. You're going to see other matches such as the Neon Blondes taking on two hookers and an eight ball versus the Pillars. And, you know, so many monsters such as Satu Jin versus Soul Taker versus Congo Kong. You're going to see the Man Beast Rhino taking on Jake Crist. And, Rachel, fill me in. I know I'm leaving off, like, you know, more than half the card at least.
We have a Monster Scramble. We have Congo Kong with the famous Soul Taker and Satu Jin. It's going to be a little different with that one because I'm used to seeing Satu Jin as just a deathmatch wrestler. But he can actually wrestle. Like, he's amazing. So I just put the monsters together in a three-way. Then we have the Briar Wellington Humble Yourself Rookie Challenge with Schwartzy.
Humble Yourself Rookie Challenge.
Yeah, I don't think you guys seen it this round, but yeah, it's crazy. It's a whole different Richie Boy.
I'm excited.
I'm a big fan of Richie Boy Briar Wellington.
One show, 10 matches. We normally do 6, sometimes 7. But it's the anniversary. We said, why the hell not? Just do 10 and bring in everybody.
Hell yeah.
Now, for anyone who cannot unfortunately be there in person, will the event be available on any streaming platform for
people? Yes, under FourKingsMedia.tv, and that will come out probably within a week. And then we'll have DVDs as well. Yep.
Right on.
Excellent. And did you say a Monster Scramble? Will you tell us a little bit about that? What is that?
So we have two. Angel Metro and then Brandon Chappelle, and then the rest are just kind of not so much, they're mystery opponents, and it's just a bunch of monsters coming in there, and they're just gonna scramble it out in the ring, one winner. Not so much death match, but just a 6-man scramble.
I gotta say, what you're done with horror, with the horror genre and pro wrestling, I want to say to Tommy Grayson as a joke, someone needs to do this with superheroes. Yes. That's what we just did for the last year, you know, superpowers of wrestling. And we had the Batman of Burlington and all kinds of craziness happening.
That's awesome. So that's kind of how we first started out. I mean, but in a different genre. It was more the horror characters like Freddy Krueger and Jason. Yes. And we did Freddy vs. Jason. We did we did the Mummy. We actually created the Mummy. We built the costume and everything.
Wow. How do you build a mummy costume?
We got really thick toilet paper and just went around. He got a bodysuit because, you know, if the toilet paper obviously shreds off of him, it's just going to be naked. You don't want to see that. So he got a bodysuit, and then we just toilet papered him up. It worked.
Unused toilet paper, I hope, right?
Yes. Yes. Unused.
Oh, man. There's a big toilet paper thing going on right now. My mother keeps saying it. My mother keeps saying, did you get more toilet paper? Got to go buy it because, you know, the shipyards were all closed or whatever. I guess they still are.
Yep.
I don't know.
That's right. Yep.
Right. So I have toilet paper up to the ceiling around here. It feels like COVID again.
Yeah. Seriously. Real quick, I got a trivia question since it's Trivial Pursuit night.
God, we forgot. Hold on. Are you good? Hold on. Rachel, are you good at wrestling trivia? You're going to participate in this?
I sure will. I'll do my best.
All right.
Excellent. All right. So if you guys know the answer to this one, say it in the chat and we'll give it a little bit. On what sitcom did The Rock and the Hardy Boys appear in one episode on?
Sitcom. See, I would have said Mad TV, but that's not a sitcom. That would be a variety show.
Sitcom, for those who don't know, obviously.
Harold E. Pollack.
That's
and Danger show. Ginger, but Harold got it first. He said that 70s show. Is that right?
Yep, that's it.
Wow, he got it. All right, wow. Harold.
That's actually one of my favorite sitcoms.
Me too.
Well, fun fact, The Rock actually played his father, Rocky Johnson. And this was like right at the time in 99 when The Rock was like just starting to really get over as a baby face. This is like before the Team Extreme. So like this is like Hardy's, maybe probably Michael Hayes. So that's how like early of an episode it was. So maybe that's why people don't really remember it as much. But I think it's one of those blink and you'll miss it type of moments. But yeah, definitely a good piece of wrestling trivia.
Yeah, definitely. And another piece of trivia, that 90s show just got canceled.
That's right. You know what else got canceled? Thank God, Velma.
And Danger Ginger says, that same year, The Rock appeared also on Star Trek Voyager, I do believe. Like, what? Like, all right, Voyager happens, like, in the Delta Quadrant. It's, like, the farthest reaches of space, man. You know? So The Rock is in the 70s show, and then they ship him out to Voyager. That's hysterical.
Facts.
I'm gonna look through Voyager tonight until I find The Rock's episode. Now I'd had no idea about if this is real.
He's been in quite a few movies.
Well,
that's right.
He was one of my favorites, all time favorites, is The Rock.
Hell yeah. All right, I got a question. All right. Did you guys ever see the movie Problem Child, or do you even know what it is?
Yes. Okay. One of my favorites.
Right. Oh, then you're going to know this. All right. Which WWE Hall of Famer appeared in Problem Child in 1990?
Oh, wow.
What's funny is we were just talking about him in the car the other day, Tommy, this wrestler. For some reason, he was a topic of conversation.
I can't even think.
I don't remember this at all. Me and I either. Must have seen Problem Child a million times as a kid.
it wasn't show. If it was,
no one's even guessing in the chat. There's not even Roddy Piper. Good guess, but no. That's actually a real good guess, but no.
No, it's not Roddy Piper. Was it? Wait a minute. Okay, it's one of the. It's in the prison scene, right?
I don't know, but someone already got it in the chat, so don't look. Sky got it.
I got it. Yeah. No, I know who it is. I got it.
Yeah, it was Kerry Von Erich.
Really? Wow.
The Texas Tornado. Yeah. He was such a good-looking guy. That's what I'm saying. If he was on this, like, I'm surprised he didn't get picked up to do more roles.
Well, it's one of those, again, blink and you'll miss it moments where in that movie where they already have so many like cameos, like they have what's his name? The guy who plays the guy from Seinfeld.
Kramer. No, yeah. Stanley Spadowski. He isn't just a cameo. He's a big part of that. He kidnaps the kid.
Well, he's a major role. Major role. So like for Kerry Von Erich to appear in it, it was probably just that one like prison scene or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
We gotta look it up though. I'm a big Problem Child, Mark.
So now we need, hold on. So next week we're going to have to show a clip of The Rock in Voyager followed by Kerry in Problem Child.
Yes.
We need, someone's got to edit that together for us. Get on that. Anyone that can edit.
Yep.
All right.
I'm too busy editing TV. I'm taking on no more editing.
All right. Ready? This is a really good one.
Let's hear.
Who was the first person to pin Mr. Perfect?
First person to pin Mr. Perfect.
Because remember, he had a perfect winning streak for like a while when he came out, when he first showed up. He your guesses in the chat. First person to pin Mr. Perfect. Who could it be? Let's think.
Where are my 80s wrestling marks at?
123 Kid has been guessed. Incorrect. Tito Santana. Good one, but no. That's weird, Harold Pollock. I feel like I had heard that too. But yeah, no. Any guesses, you guys? Tommy? Rach, anything?
I have
take no a guess. Idea. Just literally guess it. Who's the first person to pop in your head from WWE around that time?
If it's IC, then it has to be either HBK or
Al Snow.
Nope, not Ultimate Warrior either. Al Snow, no, that wouldn't. It was Hulk Hogan. They gave it to Hogan because Hogan needed it. Hogan wasn't over enough. He had to end that streak.
Yeah,
like, you know, I would have wanted to have said Hogan, but I would have felt like that. I would have just been like, that would have been like saying, you know, who's a rapper, Will Smith or something like that. I didn't want to give a Jay Brown answer, but I guess, well. Yeah.
I don't remember where it happened. It may have been Saturday night's main event. We'll have to look into that too. Anyone in the chat that's bored, find out where that match happened. Right. Hulk Hogan versus Mr. Perfect.
Now I'm going to have to look that up when I'm up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, here's a good one. You guys are going to like this one. Rach, you're going to take a guess at this because it's about female wrestling. You ready? Who was the first female ever to win an award, like a year-end award, from Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine? Interesting. We're having technical difficulties with Rachel.
Can you hear us, Rach? No, I think we lost your sound.
Yeah, we just lost sound.
I'm going to take a guess, and I'm going to say Sherry Martel. I'm glitching.
That's all right.
I can hear you.
Sherry Martel was Tommy's guess. Who's your guess, Rachel? Say it one more time for me.
I didn't hear the question. My phone was glitching.
Oh, okay. First female to win a year-end award from Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine of all time.
Lita.
Not a bad guess. Actually, Harold Pollock, you got it, brother. Medusa Michelli. Alundra Blaze. She was the 1988 Rookie of the Year. And Moolah didn't win something for like a few years after that. So, yeah, Medusa was the first ever. Amazing.
Here's a random trivia I'll throw out there.
Go ahead.
Who has the most hardcore championship reigns?
I'm going to guess, and I don't know, just it came to my head, Crash Holly.
Nope. Crash Holly was the Houdini of Crash Holly was the Houdini of hardcore, and he's the one that quote unquote established the 24/7 rule. But no, who has the most?
Just WWE, or can it be like ECW?
Just WWE.
Just WWE. Okay. So it's the hardcore title WWF. So yeah. It would be 98 to 02.
Yes. So, yeah, I would have guessed Crash Holly.
Yeah. Danger Ginger guessed Crash. Harold guessed R-Truth. Tara guessed Al Snow. And Chris guessed Mankind.
Nope. Mankind was the first. Crash Holly was the one who established the 24/7 rule. R-Truth held it twice as K-Quick, which if you ask me is his, you know, that's his best character that he had personally. And Mick Foley is Mankind. Nope. Any more guesses?
Boss Man, someone guessed.
Nope.
Taz?
Nope.
Let me take a guess. Bob Holly?
No.
Sho Funaki?
No.
All right.
You give up?
Yeah.
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
Are you kidding? Oh, Harold got it. Harold said Raven at 7:25.
Okay, there you go. Yep. Yes, it was Raven. It was Raven, and I believe the grand total was at, I think, 25 or 27 hardcore championship reigns.
Wow.
I had no idea.
Yep.
My mind is blown. But I'm also blown that Harold E. Pollock has gotten every single question right. Harold.
I think Google is a great great aid.
No, he's on the honor system. I believe him. He's a good dude. He's not gonna. Harold, I'll tell you what. You can submit a question. Think of a good, quick question that you know the answer to, and put it in the chat, and we'll ask it. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Yep. So anyway, so
that was just a Friday. Random like fact I knew in my head. By the way, I didn't. That wasn't even one of my like questions. That's what a mark really? I am. Yeah.
Wow.
Come on, good you stuff. Know I'm a big Raven mark.
Rachel, are we keeping you? If you want to get out of here, you can. But I'd love having you. All right.
Well, you're good.
All right. Here we got a good one. You ready for this one?
Yep.
Let me think of the best way to ask this question. Okay. Which WrestleMania was on a Monday night?
God.
Monday night WrestleMania, everybody. So people are doing math in their heads. They're thinking,
I know.
Go ahead, guess.
WrestleMania 2, because it took place in two different time zones.
It, yep. And of course, Harold beat you to it, though, Tommy, unfortunately. Jesus, Harold.
All right, Harold, type your question out so we could answer yours.
He can only answer. He can't ask. We'll see. All right. I got another one for everyone while Harold's typing his. Very simple question. You either know it or you don't. Who trained Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Gentleman Chris Adams.
Nice. I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
Today. No, I didn't know that till today. I know who Chris Adams is. I grew up watching him.
That was the first wrestling book I ever read when I was a kid, was The Stone Cold Truth. And he talks about being broken in at the world famous Dallas Sportatorium by a man, gentleman Chris Adams. And my first payoff was for $100, and I called him up. I said it was horse shit.
Sound like him. Chris Sanders in the house. What's up, brother? Going to be on his podcast soon. Chris, you're killing it, man. Keep it up, brother. We're proud of you on this show.
Yeah, man. Good to hear from you, Chris. All right. I got a trivia question real quick.
All right.
Who is the only tag team to have appeared in the WWF, WCW, ECW, TNA, and Ring of Honor? And when I say the only tag team to have appeared, I'm not saying wrestled. I'm saying they are the only tag team to have been on television for all five of those companies. Who is it?
I think.
Repeat that. All right, Ginger.
The Hardy Boys?
No.
Hardy Boys.
Nope. Hardy Boys weren't in the original ECW.
Okay.
What is the only tag team that have appeared?
It's going to have to be the Hardys.
Nope.
I'm not the Hardys. I didn't mean the Hardys. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. You just said it. I know you just said it wasn't the Hardys. I know it wasn't. I was going to say the Nasties. It's either got to be the Nasty Boys or Public Enemy is what I'm thinking.
No. No. You guys are way off. The only tag team to have appeared on WWF, WCW, ECW, TNA, and Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Is it the Dudleys?
No. The Dudleys. I don't know if the Dudleys ever on WCW?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, it wasn't the Steiners. You guys give up?
This is really good. I'm going to get mad because it's a tag question. Give me one more minute on this one.
Got you.
There's not many tag teams out there. Who the hell was tagging in ECW? My guess is they just did like one ECW match.
It wasn't even a match. That's why I'm being specific. I'm saying what tag team has appeared?
Rock and Roll Express.
No.
When you say we're way off, it's because it's more of a legendary tag team, and I'm thinking more ECW tag teams. I get it. The Road Warriors.
No.
I got to give up.
Yeah, I'm clueless. I'm going to say there's not too many left.
It's the Insane Clown Posse.
Wow.
They were on ECW, Hardcore Heaven, WWF as the Oddities, WCW as the Deadpool and the Dark Carnival, Ring of Honor.
I was there tonight. They were Ring of Honor.
Yep.
Damn, man. How do we not get this?
I said the only tag team.
Damn. I'm sorry, Violent J. Man does so much more for us than we do for him.
Yeah.
He does so much more for us than we do for him, and I can't even guess his tag team. It should have been right on our minds. God. Anyway, we're trying to get Phil Stamper
for Breyer too. Oh my God. Hurry up and come home.
Well, here's the thing. That's a technicality. And maybe those other tag teams did in fact appear in those five companies at a different point, but I know that when they were interviewed by Sean Oliver, that was their opening question. Like, do you guys know that you guys are the only tag team to have appeared, you know, in those five brands? So
we have failed the Juggalos.
Clearly.
We're disgusting. We're all going to sit in the corner and give ourselves a timeout while Phil introduces himself and tells us how his knee is and plugs whatever the hell he wants to plug.
I want to make sure y'all didn't piss off Violent J while I was gone. What the hell happened?
You're missing some Trivial Pursuit. That's all.
Got it.
Okay. We got a question from, I want to say Harold put a question in the chat.
No, he didn't.
What's going on?
No, Rap Boy said, what two female debut at WrestleMania with Triple H and did not wrestle? I don't know.
Oh, that's Ronda Rousey.
Oh, I see. So, Phil, how you doing, bro? How's your leg? You good?
Hanging in there, yeah. Hobbling along like with the best of them. It's great.
Were you just a physical therapy?
No, I decided I was going to try to leave work early, and that did not work well for me.
What happened?
Just traffic. DC traffic is insane. It took me about 3 hours to get home.
That's awful.
So, but I'm home. You know, that's I can think about that. And now I have a night of work ahead of me.
What WAE wrestler? I assume WWE. That means okay. What WWE wrestlers beat a WCW wrestler for the EC? Okay, that's Taz beat Mike Awesome.
Or wait, it's not Big Show beat CM Punk, right?
No, it's Taz beat Mike Awesome for the ECW World Title.
You think?
When he was in WWE, the both of them had essentially left the company, but
it says wrestlers.
Okay, so Harold,
you might need to be a little.
Mike, yeah, all right, yeah. Yeah, Mike Awesome and Taz. There we go.
Well, that's what Danger Ginger said, though.
Yeah,
but that was him guessing. He didn't ask the question. Harold answered.
Taz was in WWF.
You're right. You're right. Taz over Austin. Overall, awesome. Good job, dude.
This is right up my alley.
I can't believe you just got that. That was really good. Did you know that, Phil? I didn't know that.
I don't think I knew that off the bat, but the second you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, that happened.
Well, Phil, let me real quick catch up on this. I want rapid fire from you, okay? If you don't know it, we'll skip it. We'll pass. Oldest WWE champion of all time.
Bruno Sammartino?
Vince McMahon.
Mm.
Youngest of all time.
Randy Orton.
Nope.
Ooh.
Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
Okay.
How old was he?
25.
Good.
Did you know that it was supposed to be Kenny from the Spirit Squad, actually? At one point, that was actually a thing. He was told that when he was 14 years old.
All right. If you get this next question, you're the host next week. And I'll just shut up. You ready? What WWE Hall of Famer appeared in Problem Child?
Oh, yeah. Man.
I didn't know.
In Problem Child?
I know, right?
Diamond Dallas Page.
No, 1990.
Okay.
Page would have been driving the Cadillac at WrestleMania.
That's true.
I
felt like it was too easy to say Hogan or Randy Savage.
Yet, no. Kerry Von Erich.
Okay.
Like, what? When? Where? How? Why?
Now I need to look it up.
We already, you're one step ahead of you on that one.
Ginger, what's your question?
What was the other thing that someone was in something we said?
Oh, Rock was in something.
Rock was in Star Trek Voyager, Phil?
He was, that I did know. I can't remember the name of the episode, but he was an alien and he fought in an arena.
No.
I think 7 of 9 beat him up.
No.
Yeah.
All right. I got to see this. You know who will pop for that? Jack Evans. I got to tell Jack Evans about that. He loves Star Trek.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Who trained Stone Cold Steve Austin, Phil?
Oh, gentleman Chris Adams.
Oh, good.
There you go.
I'm impressed. All right. Good job. Oh, here's a really neat one, you guys. You ready for this?
Let's hear.
Which WrestleMania did not have one man versus man singles match on the whole card?
WrestleMania 2000.
I would have thought 2002 because I remember thinking that 2000 also. I remember thinking there wasn't any, but I'm just telling you what was in this question. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it's wrong. They're saying WrestleMania 1.
WrestleMania 1?
No, that's what it said. It was, if you think about it, it was a lot of tag matches, but I thought Valentine had a singles match, so I could be wrong. Maybe it was Valentine and Beefcake against the US Express. Mm-hmm. And Phil, the last one that you missed, which WrestleMania happened on a Monday?
Like advertised for a Monday or ran into Monday?
Nope. It was a Monday pay-per-view.
Oh, and by the way, one is not the right answer. The first four matches were singles matches.
Well, there you go. I couldn't even get good.
Then it's 2000.
Great. Now that brings all my questions in the anyway, WrestleMania 2 was on a Monday.
Okay.
All right. Harold has a question. What wrestler appeared on the X-Files? Oh, I kind of remember this.
I've never watched X-Files.
Because that was a time in television where like every series had like one wrestling episode.
Right. Bret Hart was on The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I think someone was on Mad TV. Austin was on Walker Texas Ranger.
I remember that.
X-Files. Wouldn't have been Mr. Backlund.
And you were correct about WrestleMania 2000. There are no singles man versus man, and the only singles match, I think, Terry Runnels versus the Cat.
Mm-hmm. That's why they specified man. I must have written it down wrong.
Rat Boy goes Edge.
Okay. Actually, okay. I kind of remember that now.
That doesn't ring a bell to me.
In the Percy Jackson series. He was
Who
also
was?
Edge.
No.
He wasn't Hades. He played a god in the Percy Jackson series.
You know who's doing a lot of acting right now? James Storm.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's kicking ass, man. Dude, what a great fucking brother and tag team extraordinaire. Love that dude.
Shouts out to the cowboy, James Storm. Johnny.
Yo.
Is it time for the question of the evening?
Sure. You might as well do it. The big bonus question, everyone. Anyone gets this right, we'll think of something to give. What can we give them?
You guys will get free. You'll get free tickets to November 2nd.
No, don't start giving away stuff like that. We'll see, maybe. All right, so go ahead. Ask the big bonus question, everyone. This is the big one, everyone. Listen up.
All right. What WWE Hall of Famer famously hosted a locker room meeting where he proceeded to drop his drawers and spread his cheeks?
Which time?
All right. First of all, this was definitely Pro Wrestling Unplugged. I remember being there for this. Do you know who this was, Phil? I do. This was a PW show. I know. Yeah, it was.
Yes. All right. Hosted a Pro Wrestling Unplugged locker room meeting at where he proceeded to drop his drawers and spread his cheeks.
Said, hey, everyone, can I have your attention? And we're all like, so-and-so's running a meeting. Like,
I'm just going to take a wild guess. I know what's wrong with Stone Cold.
Who?
She said Stone Cold. We never had Stone Cold.
No. No,
I'm going to say Ginger Jake said, Roberts, but I think I'm
Danger
wrong.
Ginger said Tony Atlas. Phil, yes, you're correct. Ding, 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 ding.
I think I do remember it somewhere in the back of my brain.
His exact words were, "Hey, everyone, can I have your attention, please?" And we're all looking like, what? I remember Z-Bar was so like Johnny. Like, Jake is about to address our locker room. Like, he's taking this seriously. And Jake goes, "Has everyone seen the snake pit?" And he just turns around, bends over, pulls his pants down, spreads his cheeks. He had green, like, hospital pants on. I'll never forget. And you don't know what's happening. And even as he's doing it, you're like, no, it's not what I think is coming. So you actually look. You know, you don't look away because you think he can't be. Yeah, he is. Yes. And I'm looking at you-know-what right now.
He was at that time in his life, he was in a place. And that place happened to be Pro Wrestling Unplugged.
Oh God! And it was like noon.
He thought he was at the gathering, and someone just said "whoop whoop."
It was him versus Sandman. It was Jake Roberts versus Sandman at the World Gym in Northeast Philly. It was our last event before we started running the ECW Arena every month. And Jake versus Sandman really packed that building for us, man. It really did. It jump started Pro Wrestling Unplugged, you know. And it's funny. It's kind of like we're back around the lap. We lapped around the track, Phil. And we have a casino show coming up, and it's probably gonna be our last show of the year. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, which means it's like our whole year. We just started on New Year's, so we're already almost up to our 1 year anniversary. Now, I had said that, you know, Peck passed away from the firehouse in Burlington. And I did offer to them if they wanted to do some sort of a benefit event or something around New Year's, around the holidays, mm-hmm. that we would get wrestlers on board and we would do something to help them. It's the least we can do. We would love to do it. But right. aside from that, if that happens or not, most likely November 2nd is going to be our final event of the year. So we really want everyone to come out and spread the word and help us get the word out. And I'm trying to get as many OGs there as I can. And today is a very special day, everyone. It is my friend H.C. Loke's birthday. And H.C. Loke, one of the co-founders of SPO Wrestling, will make his return to Philadelphia. First time in Philly since WrestleMania weekend this past year when him and DeVito were at GCW as the Carnage crew. So we get H.C. Loke back November 2nd, everybody. And tickets are on sale now. Whoa! Breyer!
Hey!
What's up, bro? It's so good to see you. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good to see you, dude.
Dude, we're just talking about your event, man. We got it right here to show. Awesome poster. Wakes me up out of a sound sleep. I get so scared with some of those on the top row.
Yeah, that's me as a monster right there on the side. I'm a zombie.
I love it, man. I love it. So how's everything, bro? We're excited for Friday, man. Tell us a little bit about Friday.
Oh, man, it's just a couple. It's what the word I'm looking for is it's just like 7 years, man, of us grinding and going through it, man, for 7 years. We almost stopped 100 times, you know, in between. Kind of came together, like everything, full circle, like at first, you know, the end with. Was the whole inspiration behind Horror Slam was JCW, you know, like I loved how JCW had that vibe, that same vibe, you know, with their audience. And it was like, it just felt like, you know what I mean? In Michigan, we needed a little change and I wanted to do something different. I wanted to do something out of the box. And then it was like, then I seen GCW and then they were an inspiration. And it's like, it kept us going. You know, and it's like that's kind of one of the things about Horror Slam is it does get a little eyes on these guys for like, you know, to do indies, to get out there instead of staying in Michigan. You know, we raise their bar.
Yeah. And the guys I've talked to in the locker room are excited, dude. That's a really good sign when, you know, a week before the event, they're kind of putting it over in other locker rooms and saying they're excited. Yeah. So I'm excited and I'm appreciative that you have us there, man. I can't wait.
Oh, dude, yeah, it's just like weird how these whole all these universes keep coming together. Like this year, 2024 has been wild, you know, between like GCW, JCW, like us, like even the event we're doing with No Holds Barred is something that the deathmatch audience wants. You know what I mean? And we kind of listen to that every time. And it's like everybody's kind of like feeling the vibe of JCW this year. And I think that we got something with Juggalo Championship Wrestling now, and having them there made this event even bigger. You know, it's like, it just like literally was like the icing on the cake, man. Like, it's something we had planned, you know. We're like, this 7-year anniversary has got to be big, and we're going to go big with this one, you know. And it's cool because every show you'll see as you start coming here is that every show, it just comes together. Like, people are going to be lined up in the parking lot, and it's like, it almost feels like a mini gathering of the Juggalos, man. Like, there's going to be Faygo dogs that people give out for free. Like, I mean, it's really cool.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That sounds awesome, man. I'm excited. But you know, it's funny when you say 7 years, me and Tommy and JP are always saying that wrestling years, it's like dog years. You know, 1 year in wrestling years is like 3 years in real world years. You know, you go around the lap 3 times in 1 year, it feels like in wrestling. So if you've done 7 years straight, bro, I'm putting you up around like 20 years. It feels like to you, doesn't it? It's got to.
Oh, it did. So it was just, it's a wild thing. It's like the undertaking that I never thought in my wrestling career, I never, ever, ever planned to be a wrestling promoter. I hate even people calling me that, you know, like, cause by heart, I'm a wrestler. Like, I like to work with people. I like to make people look good. I like to, you know, have fun in there. Like, I like to be that player coach no matter what. Like, I want to be involved. I'd rather set, you know, I like setting the ring up even, you know, I actually enjoy it. You know, it's soothing for me. You know, when I'm not wrestling, I set up the rings for certain fair shows for a lot of the rookie shows. And I usually just do it like it's just me, Rachel, and the guy who owns the ring. And we set it up a day before and it's soothing. You know, we hang out, you know, have a beer after, you know.
Student of the biz. That's what I like to say.
Mm-hmm. You're talking like somebody who genuinely wants to be in the business. And I know you do because you've been doing it for so long. And the companies that you listed, your JCWs, your GCWs, your Horror Slams, your ICW No Holds Bars, your SPO Wrestlings even. You know, these are all companies that exist because of one word, passion. And if it wasn't for guys, you know, like, you know, the three gentlemen that I'm in the, you know, room with that have been doing this despite, you know, I guess the several wrestling economies that we faced over the last, you know, millennium, it's inspiring. You know, Briar, you know, you're somebody who, again, you're a JCW original since the very first event. You know, you're up there with Too Tough Tony and Madman Pondo as far as guys who have been around and have been doing it for so long, but you're still performing just as hard, if not harder, than you had even back then. I want to know where your inspiration comes from and, you know, what really inspired you to, you know, get started, you know, promoting events. Cause, you know, like you said, you really still love performing.
Yeah. Well, it was like, I guess it gave me an opportunity to like, kind of like, cause whatever I do, like if I'm going to be in the business, I want to be either the best or up there in the top of it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like the second best at anything or, you know what I mean? I like to strive for greatness or strive to be the best at it. And it's like the same goes with like promoting a show. It's like, I'm like, man, these kids can get so much more. Like if we just bring the best in and then like, maybe they show them that they can hang with some of the best and then that will get eyes on them. And then they'll see the bigger picture because if they don't believe in themselves to be like in the ring with the Nick Gages, the, you know what I mean? These bigger name guys, the Colt Cabana guys, you know what I mean? These guys that they elevate in their mind half the time, but they're just like us. You know what I mean? It's just, they know more than you. And that's what's going to elevate your game. You can't just wrestle your buddies at home. It's like, man, there's such a cool horizon, like from going to Japan to like doing European tours. It's like, man, you guys can do this, man. It's just like, most of the time, the kids just don't believe in themselves. Like they don't really realize that, like, it's just a few steps and a few sacrifices and a few like little like things you have to change in your life. Kind of, you know what I mean? You need to make the gym and your health and you know what I'm saying? That's gotta be a priority because this machine is going to make you money. You know what I mean? And if it's not running good, how's it going to make you money? You know what I mean? And it's like a lot of these kids need to get invested in their self. You know what I mean? Instead of worrying about the video games, worry about, you know, hitting up, Planet Fitness is such a good deal. You know, most of these kids can't lift more than 50 pounds anyway, so it's fine. And there's a tanning package. You know what I mean? Like, some of these kids, like, they don't shave. They don't practice the stuff that you need to do for television wrestling. You know what I mean? And I feel like I love helping guide the young guys like that or mentor them. I mean, I can't lead them all the way, but at least I can be like, hey, man, you know, like, it's, you know, you do this. Like, go to Windsor, train a little more, get the eyes on you, go to these seminars.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're young, it's like, man, it's like the world's your oyster when you're young, you're moldable clay. When you get my age, it's like, damn. You can't teach an old dog tricks, even though I do actually evolve. You know, I feel like I've evolved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And fans, if you want to see Briar Wellington in action, check out Lunacy TV, Juggalo Championship Wrestling's YouTube show. Check it out. You can watch it. You'll see Briar Wellington, in my opinion, one of the best talkers, period. Wait till you hear this guy on the microphone. I think you have a very, like, to hear your voice here and to hear you talk the way you're talking now, and then to hear him on the microphone in the ring, you would not even know it was the same person. He's got this studio.
Wait, Friday. You guys haven't seen nothing yet.
Really?
He's completely different when he goes to, when he's at Horror Slam. Yeah. It's crazy.
Wow.
I'm excited because he's got like this bellowing, like, I don't know how to even explain your voice, but it's, I remember being in the balcony at the three town beatdown and it's watching you do your angle with the Violent J. And I was in awe of your voice. It's very neat. And I look forward to hearing it again, brother. Thank you for coming on here and plugging your event, man. Friday's going to be fun, bro.
We're looking forward to it.
And Rachel was awesome, by the way. Rachel, we can't thank you enough. You're welcome to come on anytime. You were great. Thanks for playing trivia with us. And
both you guys are welcome to come on.
I didn't guess anything right.
That's all right. I didn't even have the right answer on my own trivia. So fly by night.
Thank you again, Johnny. Thank you, Tommy. Hey, Phil, I know you, but hey, that's my Facebook buddy, man.
Yeah, I'm everybody's Facebook buddy.
He is.
Very true. Well, no, Phil, Briar was part of the PW JCW invasion.
Back I remember. Yeah.
Richie boy.
So we met in passing, I think, there and maybe one other time.
That's dope. And that's so, I know it's crazy. Like the ones who want to do this always gravitate to each other. I'm telling you. Like when I first met the backseats and all, and I already knew Johnny, I'm like, dude, it's like, let's go, baby. Let's take over wrestling.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, facts. And, you know, even just our first match at, you know, the Three Town Beatdown, you know, after leaving that tour, you know, on the car ride home, you know, the number one takeaway was, guys, you know, Johnny said to us, your best opponents have been Richie Boy and Jeeves. And it's like, we took it to the gathering. And it's like, you know, anytime we're in the ring with Briar, it's just, we just fucking make magic. So just to anyone listening out there who, you know, is attending Horror Slam or is thinking about breaking into wrestling and you happen to be in the Michigan area, just learn from a guy who has literally been doing it since before you were thought of. That's all I'm gonna say. Just learn. Yeah, fucking learn.
7 years now.
7 years. Well, good job, guys.
Here's to 7 more years.
Come on, yes. Let's go, baby. Let's ride it till the wheels fall off, man.
That's
always.
It.
Always. That's
it. Who needs wheels?
Yeah, I know, dude. Yeah.
Spread your wings and fly.
Where we're going, there are no roads.
Well, awesome. thank you guys again, and we'll see you guys on Friday.
Thank you again, Friday.
Can't wait.
Come on, October. What is it? October 11th. Hey, Underground Monsters, man, this is gonna be huge. I'm telling you guys, you guys are in for a treat.
Excellent. Can't wait. We'll see you guys see there. Check there. Our stories out all weekend, you guys.
Again, you guys, I love you guys.
Love
you, bro.
Bye.
See ya.
Peace.
Well, very cool. Nice. I say it. I'll say it again. I always love when we have people over to the house.
Yes. Yeah. Especially so good people. Pursuit.
So far, so good. We got like 4 more minutes.
You got any more questions?
I do, but I first want to hear an update on Trip TV if one exists.
I was actually going to say that. So, so right now I am currently rendering a draft of Trip TV Season 2, Episode 1. I would say that it will probably be ready by the time of next week's Spocast. So I think that I don't want to definitely confirm it just yet, but if all goes according to plan, people look forward to a new Trip TV episode within the next couple of weeks. If it is definitely confirmed, you will know by Spocast if it is being released or not and when it is being released. It's in the works. Everything is happening. Everything's being worked on. And you're going to see, it's going to be more of a vlog style compared to season one. That's what I can confirm. So season one was very focused on one event. This is going to be all different events. Any match that hasn't been streamed on IWTV, on Triller, that's where it's going to be aired now, is on Trip TV. So you're going to see a lot of unseen Backseat Boys matches, you know, over the last couple of weeks on this episode. And you're going to see some other interesting clips and some major updates, not just with, you know, Spo Wrestling and the Backseat Boys, but with the upcoming Train to Terror tour. So it's going to definitely, this is going to be open-ended for, you know, episodes to come.
Nice. That sounds good. Now, Ginger does have a question he wants to ask. Let's try this one.
Yep.
Who debuted out of the crowd on Raw and defeated
Santino Marella? Santino Marella. I remember watching that live.
Because they were overseas when it happened.
Yep. Okay. The Milan Miracle.
Okay.
I remember that exactly.
Another, I got another debuted out of the crowd question for you guys. Phil, you might get it. Who debuted out of the crowd so that Dino Bravo and the Ultimate Warrior could do push-ups with him sitting on their back?
Earthquake.
Yes. John Tenta. Good one.
Episode length, Danger Ginger. This episode is probably going to be about an hour and a half, give or take. Maybe a little bit longer.
It's brought to you by the letter E for enjoy.
And Joker 2.
Get back and enjoy it.
Yeah, brought to you by Joker 2, everyone.
Well, speaking of, I predicted 2 years ago that Joker 2 was going to be awful. So
I don't get it. If anyone says they thought it was going to be the shits, they couldn't have predicted it would be as the shits as it is. Right.
But I'll tell you why I thought it was going to be the shits, because the movie shouldn't have happened. The first one shouldn't have happened to begin with. So the fact that they were doubling down and saying a movie,
why
that shouldn't
it? Because of the timeline.
No, because it was an Elseworld story where it would be like Frankenstein's monster without Dr. Victor Frankenstein. That's what they tried doing. And they
they tried to act like it was happenstance that he became the Joker.
Correct.
Rather than intelligent design.
Yes. And they made it so that the first movie was a movie that you would have to go and see it in the theaters. But what happened was it resonated with a lot of people, aka the incel community. And based on that, they turned around and made, I haven't seen the movie yet, but this is what I'm getting at, is that they turned around and they turned its own fan base against itself. And I'm not a Lady Gaga fan. I think that it's a jump the shark to cast her as anything, because she's easily one of the people that you cast in and it's like, okay, that's not who it is. It's Lady Gaga. So to have her play Harley Quinn and you're just doing the exact same thing that happened when you cast Jared Leto and Heath Ledger as the Joker. It's you're stripping the comic book element away and you're making it these, you know, passion projects for these actors. Mm-hmm. So.
But if you want someone who can sing and since Harley Quinn didn't start in the comic books, you're kind of like,
she started in the cartoons. And that's what's interesting, is that they're basing it off of two Batman, the Animated Series episodes, but that doesn't dictate an entire musical.
Yeah. But you know what, guys, too, have either of you seen the hotel season of American Horror Story?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, Gaga was in that. And I thought she did fine. You know, she did better than the Kardashians doing now. That's for sure.
It's not that she's a bad actress. It's just that she it's like watching Madonna act or watching a musician act. It's like, it's always going to be like, I don't know.
Do you think she was too big? She's too big of a star to play the role. So like when you see her, you only see Gaga. Is that kind of what you're trying to say?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. And you know, it, like Johnny, you were going to bring up who's our favorite Batman. Like you had that thing saved.
I would literally have that.
Yeah. So that's a perfect segue. So, you know, cause I have a whole opinion on that.
Well, go ahead. It's 8 o'clock, but we don't have Trip TV tonight. So talk.
No, it's fine. Let's talk.
I can stand it if you can. If people start leaving for what's tonight?
I'm like, Tuesday? I need to get the popcorn. Yeah.
Well, my controversial Batman opinion is I am what I call the best worst Batman fan in the world. I like the cartoons and I like bits and pieces of the movies, but I don't canonically hold the movies to a standard that like the movies are a definitive version. I guess because when I was a kid watching the Burton movies, which would later become the Schumacher movies, they always were on the TV, but they were secondary to the cartoons. I never liked the Nolanverse ever. I hated the way it looked. I hated how it was shot like an episode of SVU. I never liked Christian Bale as Batman. I hated Heath Ledger's Joker. To be honest, I like, as much as I was against the Batflick casting, I liked how Ben Affleck played the role. And again, I am against the Pattinson acting or the casting of Pattinson, but I thought he's so far been probably the best live action Batman that we've had, but his Bruce Wayne is horrible. So I'm going to say my favorite Batman is Kevin Conroy, just because to me, there is no better Batman than just the fictionalized version.
And I'm going to go with Michael Keaton. And I don't know if you remember this, Phil, but when Michael Keaton was announced as Batman, I want to say it was 88-ish. Mm-hmm. He had just been in like Mr. Mom.
Right.
And he wasn't a serious actor. He was kind of like how Tom Hanks was at the time, like a comedic, almost like a sitcom type actor, a comedian, not in shape, you know, not even necessarily like in style. Like he even had like the teacher haircut. You know what I mean?
Even then they sort of referenced that he was like retired from acting. Like
the world did not like him as Batman. I didn't, I got mad. I remember the girl down the street was like, he has no muscles. Like, why are they making him be Batman? And I'm like, yeah, I guess the outfit will cover him, you know? But so we went into it hating him, like almost not even wanting to see the movie because of him.
Right.
And he ended up being awesome. He really was just great. And in my opinion, he's the best because in 89, I was young. So to me, that was my Batman. I mean, Adam West, even as a kid, I was like, this guy's wearing pajamas. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
I hate to say, I don't know if I have a favorite Batman, to be very, because I sort of enjoy a lot of them. It's hard for me to really think of like, who do I really enjoy? I mean, it's easy to say who I don't like is Batman.
Who don't you like as Batman?
Affleck. I don't like George Clooney as Batman, but I think he was the best Bruce Wayne.
You know, I agree, and I'll do one better. Hot take. I like that. People could shit all over Batman and Robin. I love those action figures. Those Batman and Robin action figures were phenomenal.
Agreed.
Okay? And say what you want about the Burton franchise, the set and how Gotham was portrayed is the best set piece for any DC movie franchise, period, especially Batman Forever. Yeah. Go back and look at the set. Okay. I don't care if the movie's goofy and campy and full of 90s cheese or whatever. The set, that's how a Batman movie should look. It should look gothic. It should look timeless. You should not be able to look at a Batman movie and think, okay, this was shot in New York or this was shot in Chicago or this was shot in London. Because that's what's happened with every modern version of the Batman movies is they try and make it too real life. And that's another thing that bothered me about Joker is I'm watching it and I'm like, this is the Bronx that I drive through to go to training every week.
There's this guy on TikTok. His name is Red Panda. And he does little skits as different characters and does a lot of Batman and the Wayne family kind of stuff. And he went on this whole tangent about how he hates almost every, not that he hates the Batman movies, but he hates how Batman is portrayed because Batman isn't any of these things. Like,
correct.
He's not super realistic. Like it was sort of like in his third comic book, he fought Dracula. Like, so there's things that when you start looking into the history of Batman, like, well, it's not really Batman from the comics. It's different. It's a different take. And everybody has their own different take. I also hated the Nolan movies.
Thank you. And you got Harold here saying Ledger is my favorite Joker. No, I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to get into it. The only reason people praise Heath Ledger is because he died before the movie came out. Bottom line, that death sold the entire franchise, and I will die on that hill. Okay? It's not a good movie. Nothing happens entirely in that movie. You could it's a blink and you'll miss it movie. I'm sorry. It's boring.
See, of all of them, though, that was my favorite of the three.
Some of the training scenes in the first one I loved. But you're right. I have to say the second one was the best too. I gotta agree with you on that. I thought it was good. I really like Heath Ledger. What I always say is that, you know, I grew up on Jack Nicholson as Joker, which to me was more of a mafia boss, gang leader, organized crime Joker, which I for some reason have, I guess just being Sicilian, I identify with.
Yeah.
Now I see Heath Ledger as portraying a more creature Joker, you know, like he's not even human anymore because he's been in Arkham so long that he's just this like ball of slime now, you know, like, and he's just so, and just, you know, so I think it's completely two opposite ends of the Joker spectrum. So to compare the two is kind of unfair. And as far as the acting ability of both men goes, I don't think it can be in question. I think both men are great actors, period, at this point.
I am having a blank. And in the comics, they basically had a UK version of the Joker. And I cannot remember his character name.
Do you see the action figures of the Italian version of the Batmans that just came out?
No.
Yeah, it's got the guy in the brown suit with the brown hat. I think you've probably seen it and just didn't know it was the Italian version.
Italian version of the Joker or Italian?
I don't think it's Joker in it, though. It's four action figures. I think Riddler's in it. But yeah, it's actually Italian. Yeah, you'll see the guy in a brown suit. I don't even know who it is.
So what you said, Johnny, about Joker being like an organized crime, to that point, I like Jared Leto's Joker. Because I think that if you were going to take a real-life verse Joker, that's what it would be. He would be thugged out and he would be running organized crime. He wouldn't be walking around like a creature looking like he missed his lithium dose for the day.
So with a here's my problem. Here's my problem with Leto. Joker should not be that sexualized. Joker did not have a six-pack that he shows off. To me, that is just completely out of left field. Like you might as well have made him a different species, like Rock in Voyager.
You know what? I remember going and seeing Suicide Squad twice when it came out. I don't know where that movie got lost in translation to where people hated it all of a sudden, but like, I don't know.
Harold says we need a Nightwing show or movie. Hell yeah, we do. Like they're the DC dynamic duos coming out about Nightwing and Red Hood and Robin. That's going to be banging.
I can't wait for that. Nightwing and Red Hood. Dick Grayson and Jason Todd, in my opinion, are the two most bankable stars or characters in DC that they have done absolutely nothing with.
DC Titans is the first two seasons are very watchable. I really liked it. Mm-hmm. I loved the first season of DC Titans. Second season I dealt with. Third season I kind of lost it a little bit. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that show. I think that's good.
I'm just saying from a movie standpoint, they're the two characters that have needed a movie for the longest time, whether it's an animated movie or just like a standalone thing. They've needed essentially what we just got with Wolverine and Deadpool. We need that with Nightwing and Red Hood. And they've needed it for years.
Yes, yes. All right, good stuff. Phil, anything coming up this weekend?
I do. I'm at Wrestling Revolver down in Texas. It's Revolver oh my gosh, I'm going to mess up the title name, but it's Wrestling Revolver. We're at Grand Prairie at the Epic. We have trying to think of just some of the names. Moose, Lindsay Dorado, Vert Vixen, Ace Lucha Austin.
Lucha Lit, Lindsay Dorado.
Lindsay is now the Revolver Remix champion. He is a spectacle, and it's going to be him versus Ninja Mac.
I've seen some of the promos he's been putting out. I'm very impressed with it.
Yeah, they're amazing. His own work is amazing, and then you add to the production value that we can do. Like, it's pretty solid. So check it out, prowrestlingrevolver.com.
Awesome. Good luck out there. You flying?
Yep. I fly out Friday morning.
Nice. Well, be safe. We will be in Michigan and then heading back to do the, I believe we're going to try to do the Jersey Championship Wrestling Show next Saturday at midnight at 11:59 at the Showboat, if that event is still happening. I haven't really seen much about it, but we're going to be on that. And you can still get tickets for November 2nd, everybody. We're going to have some big announcements coming up in the next few weeks. We're going to be adding something to the card that's very unique. If you notice in the chat, Damon Feldman is here from, he owns official celebrity boxing. So we're going to get Damon on here, in the next week or two. We have a lot to announce, about a joint collaboration. But until then, everybody, anything else we got to do or talk about? Hopefully next week we'll have Trip TV and we will see you guys, next Tuesday at 7 PM. And don't forget to check out our Instagrams and stories this weekend as we're on the road. Always more fun when we're on the road. Thank you, everybody. Always.